So we now turn to our reading from the Bible, carrying on with our studies in Judges. We've got to chapter 13 today. If you're looking at your pew Bible, it's page 256. If you're using a large print Bible, it's page 394. And yes, it'll be up there as well, and there's bits of it on the notices. So, Judges chapter 13. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.'" Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat, together with the grain offering, and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we ask you to open your word to our heart, and our hearts to your word. Amen. I'm going to speak about faith and Philistines and Nazarites. Sorry about that, I couldn't get a third F in there anyway. Faith, Philistines and Nazarites. Under the title, Samson, A Child is Born. And based on our reading, Judges chapter 13. When you heard this reading, you may have thought, at last. At last, in the ongoing saga of Judges, someone everyone has heard of, a celeb, Samson. Samson, almost a superhero with phenomenal strength, and yes, yes, if the enemies of God are gathering, Samson will sort him out. Not only was he strong, but according to the author of Hebrews, he was a faith hero as well. Huh? Samson? Faith hero? Well, read with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now that's the chapter full of the heroes of faith from the Old Testament. And he says this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Then off he sets through the Old Testament. Terrific stuff. Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph and Moses and onwards. But by 32, verse 32, he's conscious that he's running out of time. And what more shall I say, he says. I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who did incredible things and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Well, in there, we have four judges. Three of them we've had before. Barak, Gideon, and Jephthah. And now, Samson, full of faith. Well, we shall see. As has been said, there's a formula that goes on and on and on through Judges. And this is true with Barak and Gideon and Jephthah. And with the aid of a map, let me just recapitulate a bit. We haven't got the map. Oh! Never rely on technology. Ordered 2 weeks ago. Certified. Emma. Okay. The enemies of Israel have come from the north, south, east, and west. And you've got to be north's up there, east over there, west there, south is down by my feet. Okay? First of all, Barak. What was going on there? Well, for 20 years, up in the north, there was a king called Hazor. No, he wasn't. Yes, king of Hazor, who had persecuted the Israelites for 20 years. So Deborah the prophetess sent for a hero from the north, Barak, who was very, very reluctantly conscripted by Deborah to fight the king or to fight General Sisera with 900 iron chariots. Much to his own surprise, he won the battle. The Lord sent a huge rainstorm. The river Kishon rose, rather like we've seen in wherever it is, Pakistan. Thank you, in Pakistan and China, huge floods. 900 iron chariots ain't going to do much in those floods, nor did they, and they were defeated. Next, for 7 years, they were plagued from the east. Was that east? That way. They were plagued from the east. Midianite camel riders came surging in and would devastate everything and rush off on their camels with all the. Whoa! Fantastic. A picture is worth 1,000 words. You get 3 pictures, I'm done. Right. Camel riders from the east, from over there. And who was it? Yes, Gideon's waiting for them here. He was also reluctant. The angel had to produce at least a couple of fleeces to persuade him to lead the people into battle. And he probably won the most amazing battle in the whole of the Old Testament. 300 men at night surrounded them somewhere up here, and they were defeated. And the good news, the Israelites had peace for 40 years again. A week or two ago, we were studying the story of Jephthah. Where was Jephthah? Jephthah was over here. And the Ammonites were coming. The Ammonites had plagued Israel for 18 years. Get the picture now. And he was hiding somewhere up here because he was a local outcast and gangster. And they bribed him to come and lead Israel. Not a bad idea, actually. And he defeated them in a great battle there. It doesn't say they had peace after that, but he said that Jephthah led them for 6 years. And now, Samson, we've got trouble on the only other side, the east. See this? Philistia. Samson, where was he?
Somewhere up there.
About 2 miles from the Philistine border. And we would expect... Ah, no, I'm rushing ahead now. The Philistines. For 40 years. Gosh. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistine for 40 years. And you think, hang about. That's twice as long as any other thing. What's with the Philistines? Why couldn't Israelites dislodge them? In what lay the Philistines' strength? And as to the formula, when Samson had finished with them, the Israelites should have had peace for 10, 20, 30 years. No mention at all. The formula has failed. So, okay, what we're dealing with is Philistines from this area here, the five cities, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, Gerar, and Gat. I don't think that's quite right, but there were five cities anyway. And they were a formidable enemy. Okay, are we able to turn it off? Yes! Thank you. Where did they come from? If you read Amos chapter 9, verse 7, you find out. The Philistines came from Kaphtor. Kaphtor? Never heard of it. Oh, yes, you have heard of Kaphtor. There's a footnote. Kaphtor equals Crete. Certainly the longest island, not sure about the biggest island. It's a Greek island. It was the land of the Minoan civilization. A very, very advanced civilization. It was the legendary home of the Minotaur. If you follow the Greek epics. The Minotaur who needed a sacrifice of so many young virgins a year. And the Minoans were Greeks. And so the Philistines were Greek. Greek sea peoples with Greek gods, Greek armor, Greek weapons of iron, and Greek battle tactics. That's why they were so difficult to dislodge. A serious enemy with a capital S, and they never were dislodged. The nearest they got to it was in David's time, King David, several hundred years later, and he didn't manage to conquer them either. He just kept them within their territories. Samson's job wasn't to defeat them either, not even to tame them. He was simply to begin the conquest of, begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So, a serious enemy. And as Samson grew up, we read, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. So we're now coming on to Samson the Nazarite. He began to display his gift of God. Not, I'm sorry to say, love or joy or peace, and certainly not faith, whatever Hebrews says, but that of enormous physical strength. How come? Well, today's reading, we read of God's intervention in Samson's birth, of the angel of God appearing to his barren parents, of the instructions given to them both. The son was to be a Nazarite from birth, dedicated to the Lord from birth. And Nazarite simply means dedicated person, the dedicated one. And his mission was to begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Even God realized he wasn't going to defeat them. Now, Nazarite. If you're really interested in what a Nazarite was, you can look it up in Numbers chapter 6, but I will summarize it for you. You had to abstain from wine or fermented drink. No razor was to be used upon their head, or scissors for that matter. So the person who was a Nazarite would have long hair, and it was going to be uncut. And the third thing was they must not go or touch or go near a dead body. That would make the Nazarite unclean. And normally this vow was not taken for a long time, just for a specific and limited time. But in Samson's case, as you remember, it was for his whole life. What you're not told, that his whole life wasn't going to take very long. The parents were so delighted to be given a child. They willingly promised this. The mother went without alcohol herself for 9 long months and probably seemed to her a long time. Not because of the alcohol, but because of the birth of her only child. Samson had the best possible start in life for his mission. And his parents would have prayed for him every day of their lives as he grew. He only was their only son, their only child. Wonderful. What a fantastic beginning. In case you think this idea of being a Nazarite is slightly familiar, it is true. Samuel and John the Baptist, at least partly, were Nazarites. Do you remember Hannah? Barren Hannah, praying to God, pouring her heart out. Grant me a child, Lord. And if you do that, I will give him to you. And no razor will be used on his head. Strange detail, isn't it? Why not? A hairy child? No, because that child would be a Nazarite. And when the child Samuel was weaned, she brought him to Eli at Shiloh and said, I've made a promise to the Lord. He has given me this child. I now give him to you. Heart-rending stuff. But good. Samuel became prophet, priest, and judge of Israel. Also, kingmaker. John the Baptist. The angel, read this at Christmas time, don't we, of the Lord came to Elizabeth, barren Elizabeth, and promised a son. That son, said the angel, he is never to take wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And Elizabeth and Zechariah kept their sign of the bargain, and John emerged, brave, fearless, preparing the way of the Lord, even outspoken. Both Samuel and John the Baptist succeeded in doing what God had laid on them. So, back to Samson. Samson the Nazarite. Samson the dedicated one. With such a head start, what could possibly go wrong? And have you noticed that whenever you say this or think this, sure enough, it nearly always does go wrong. And have you wondered why? Perhaps with Samson, perhaps with us, it's a bit of, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. All this preparation for Samson, but Samson himself needed to own his Nazarite promises. He needed to own God's choice for himself, and he never did. Not that I can see anyway. And the stage is set not for victory, but for tragedy. And secondly, why the dedicated one didn't achieve what other dedicated ones did. Samson would enjoy his extraordinary strength. What boy would not? Why do all these kid boys go around with superhero models, dolls, if you like? Unbelievable. Because they want to be strong. Everybody wants to be strong. Samson enjoyed being strong, but as a Nazarite, he needed to enjoy the giver of that strength, God himself. And the real tragedy of Samson's life was that he never, ever did. As the life of Samson unravels, this central weakness will become clearer and clearer. Next week, we read chapter 14, entitled, Don't Waste Your Gifts. 2 weeks' time, chapter 15, entitled, Don't Waste Victory. 3 weeks' time, Don't Waste Your Life, chapter 16. And what of Samson's faith in God? Isn't he meant to be a hero of faith in Hebrews 13:11? Well, at verse 32, the author could have expressed himself differently. He should have said, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Jephthah or about Samson's parents. Can't rewrite scripture. What more could they have done to launch Samson on his mission? They were great. But Samson, who was destined for greatness, well, over the next 3 weeks, you will consider what he did become. One last thought. The scriptures are written to teach us. So why does the Bible never whitewash its heroes? Why do we get our heroes, warts and all, not, what is it, color brushed out? And actually Simon gave us an answer to this 2 weeks ago. He said the real hero in the scriptures are not the people, the characters of the Old Testament, and with one exception, nor the characters of the New Testament. The hero in the scriptures is God. He is always the subject and the hero. In today's reading, his angel it was who was wrestling with Samuel's parents and succeeded. It was God's spirit who began to stir Samson as a young boy. God is always stirring people. So the message for us, let him stir you and me. A prayer as we sit. To this end, the prayer of Saint Richard of Chichester. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, day by day. Amen.